"Ow!" Dr. Berger screamed. "You sliced open my nether regions." Margaret immediately regretted her slice and dice decision. "That might not have been my dad, my real dad," she thought. And then everything turned blood red. "That's our dad you just sliced and diced open," Charlie said, and then smiled. "Take that, Daddy," and he took the hatchet from Margaret. "Let me have a swing." "Margaret, this is curious," screamed the gutted gastroenterologist. "You fucking sliced me like a one iron, a fucking one iron." This Dr. Berger's head was shaking back and forth with a frightening rigidity. He had taken a hatchet to the crotch and was feeling not so good about it, bland to the point of total sensory deprivation. Another Dr. Berger was in the back of the bathroom screaming in panic. His screams only stopped when Charlie parted his hair with Margaret's hatchet. And then a thick green liquid started salivating from this Dr. Berger's head. Mincing her words with the back of her hand, Margaret smacked Charlie, who reeled away from her in shock and awe. Margaret saw that she had spooked the little creep and immediately had no regrets. She instead had the green ooze Tupperwared to have later with her plate of huevos humanos. This creeped out people enough, but was no match for when Margaret started smearing it on her teeth. "Princess, that was son of a bitch gross," exclaimed a Dr. Berger, the one that was grossed out. "But I'll bet it tastes really good." "It doesn't taste at all," Margaret responded, calm in her brazenness. "It's green blood. My real father doesn't have green, tasteless blood." "We're saved," Mrs. Berger exclaimed, licking the green blood from her dying husband's head. "Praise Jeebus! It tastes like chicken. We're saved! We're saved!" Mrs. Berger had four emotions that she knew how to mimic. "There's another cost from all of this bullcrap you've been piling," the father said to the kids, "and that is, Mr. Martinez is in love with both of you." This bombshell took an hour and a half to set in. Cossacks came into the bathroom, danced, exited, and everything went back to normal. And finally, with everything normal, Mrs. Berger made an appointment to get more documents notarized in Arizona. But before she would go to Phoenix, she insisted that the twisted siblings explain everything that had gone on while she was previously getting shit notarized. Mr. Martinez had recanted his professions of love for Margaret and Charlie, but he was not without other major problems. He and Dr. Berger had sustained the longest continuous conversation, succeeding in making the Guinness Book of World Records, but in the process created several clones of Dr. Berger, who desperately tried to stop the conversation before it killed their host from boredom. And the same monstrous creations that had tried to stop the Guinness Gabathon then went after Dr. Berger. It wasn't enough just to kill Martinez, they had decided. Old Dr. Berger had to go also. They had tried to kill the two gabbers, but ended up joining in the conversation and hanging in the bathroom. "Why do you need a bathroom laboratory when you have the university at your disposal?" Mr. Martinez asked. "Suppose I had to urinate," one of the Dr. Bergers answered. "I'd have to drop what I was doing, leave my experiments, get the men's executive washroom key. You get the idea." "Well, I've talked with the members of the university junta, and they've directed me to shut down your bathroom and confiscate all of the Lysol spray." "Plants!" John Madden could have circled the tension with a telestrator. Dr. Berger had had visions of converting his bathroom sanctuary into a brothel when he retired, with Mr. Martinez as the first John. But now his dream was crumbling, and with it, his home's laboratory and only bathroom. "Destroy my plants and you destroy a part of me." It was the silliest thing he could think of to say. "And once you've destroyed a part of me, everyone will suffer. And then the entire world." "Which part of you?" Mrs. Berger asked. "Please, Mrs. Berger, Mr. Berger," the forgetful Mr. Berger said, forgetting his wife's name. "If you're going to speak, would you please remove yourself to the garden?" He was on a roll, and a little thing like his wife's name wasn't going to stop his sentences. "You're a pain in the neck." During this final scene, an armored truck pulled up outside the Berger home, waiting to pick up Mrs. Berger and the children, but the real action was happening in the bathroom. "I'm establishing a race of super plants," Dr. Berger said. "I take fake plastic plants and send 690 volts of electricity through them. taking their PNA structure and crispy frying it to human plant DNA. I call it pleenANA. Then, accidentally, the hand of my cerebral cortex got mixed in with the electrified plastic plant PNA without fully realizing it. Part of my own SNA mixed with the plastic plant PNA, which produced plant blood that got all over your mom's prize-winning azaleas, and she had been hydropotting in the bathroom. That's horrible, Charlie explained, startling the pajamas off any pajamaed people in the vicinity. Ha! You forgot. I am a scientist, Dr. Berger replied, and if you think that that's horrible, I haven't even gotten to the crux. I've invented an entirely new species. Like plants with hands, Charlie said to Margaret. His father agreed. Yes, but these new species have begun to age rapidly. Now I'm buying dentures into pens. I wanted to make a superior species, but a superior species, not a subspecies species. I wanted to make their lives easier. I figured plants plus hands equals easier. But I can't take it anymore. And I've promised myself I wouldn't cry. Dr. Berger started crying like a baby being held underwater. I just have nothing to say about this, Mrs. Berger said, pounding back a bottle of red wine. Is the armored car here yet? I can't do that, Dr. Berger replied. I can't just decide to do nothing. It would be like involuntary plant slaughter. One day I'm going to find jobs for these motherfuckers assembling Legos. I believe that my plant clones can do this. But I've been inhaling a lot of asbestos lately, a shitload. Put yourselves in my place. I had more cerebral cortex than most. My mind... But you're actually one of the dumbest shits in this plant circus, Margaret offered. Come to think of it, it's a dead heat between you, your fucking plants, and Tom Cruise. No one's perfect, Dr. Berger said, leaning back on a table to take in the comedy. He started talking in a bland and serial killer tone. I have faults enough, but they are not, I hope, of understanding. They're mainly my intellect and anger. My temper, I dare not vouch for. It is, I believe, too little, too late. My good opinion, once lost, is lost forever. And this brings me to Mr. Martinez. That pederastying fuck, I'm going to have him incarcerated and then Juan Encarnacioned. He's going to be so fucked up, he'll be praying to Pat Sajak. Does the body rule the mind, or does the mind rule the body? Charlie asked. Dr. Berger nodded his head. I don't know, he said. What I do know is that the baseball bat rules the helmetless head. I wanted to make the perfect species, but I missed it by that much. But Daddy, Margaret said, putting her hands on her head for protection, you're such a tool. She took her hands from her head and put them on her hips. I don't know. One of them is, Dr. Burgess replied, mucus pouring from every pore. I'm really that horrible? He was above, beyond, and even traversing that horrible. Maybe I'm that horrible when I'm holding my still-beating heart in my hands and asking for mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He wasn't helping his cause. I have extremely quick reactions for a mannequin, and my blood contains three of the world's six elements. And give me a day or two, and I'll have the cat dissected. Hell, I'll start now. Where's the fucking feline? Give me that tender vittles, pronto. Get that cat over here. Margaret and Charlie applauded. I thought this punk ass was supposed to be veering back towards normal, Mrs. Berger said, looking in the direction of her spittle-laden spouse. I'll be back to normal soon, Dr. Berger said, beating a tambourine on his hip. And if Mr. Martinez tries to convene his college fascist junta and take away my Employee of the Month award or my bathroom laboratory, I'll convert his entire city into a playground for the rich and make it mandatory to drive SUVs. Margaret and Charlie started to clap, but stopped. A little late on the last couple of points, Dad, Charlie interjected. Everyone who's alive now, Dr. Berger continued, will be dead. And then to Margaret and Charlie, you can applaud now. Thank you. It was all more than Margaret could process. She had recognized some of the words, like you and can and applaud and now, but they sailed over her head on the way to hell. She closed her eyes, counted to 10, and then things got worse. Dr. Berger turned around to go back into the bathroom. Oi, his spouse loudly exposed. espoused. Where the fuck do you think you're going? I'm going to work on my plan to destroy the city with my plant friends, dear, Dr. Berger assured his wife. I'm also coordinating our outfits, because we may be bringing the city to its knees, but we're not savages. It was the weekend, and most of the plants were doing their tendril isometric exercises. The bathroom was strewn with piles of rope, piles of raisins, and bottles of talons polished in anticipation of All Talons Day. Some of the smaller plants were petitioning to be transplanted into the garden. Even the doctor's lab equipment had a petition going, this one trying to prevent them from being melted down and sold to the university to make keychains. On Sunday, the family was scheduled to go out shopping for proper bathroom accessories. Margaret was in the garden sneaking a smoke when one of the transplanted plants accosted her. These plants are complete pieces of crap, Margaret thought as she felt a tendril caress her ankle. Fucking plants. It's a beautiful day, and they pull this shit. The sunlight was particularly low, and suddenly a voice whispered through the smoky haze. Margaret. Margaret looked down at the plant that was wrapping its tendrils around her, and stammered, "What? What the?" Margaret, the tiny plant transplant said, "Do me a favor, please." "Huh?" "Do me a favor," the plant plotted. "Kill your father. I am your father. Kill your father. I am your father. Kill your father. I am your father." Yeah.